This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Second chapter of Hebrews, first few verses, 1 through 3. Now, folks, I can't take this out of my Bible. It's in your Bible, and we face it lovingly. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? God also bearing them witnesses, both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, according to His own will. In verse 3, I want to focus on how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him. These words came directly from Christ. Heavenly Father, I pray for mercy and wisdom, for unction, for strength, for anointing. Lord, this is a message You spoke to me personally, that this had to be something that I see, something that I lay on my desk and read from the rest of my life, that I will turn to this and remind myself and remember the loving warnings of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we rejoice in Your promises. We rejoice in the security of our salvation. We rejoice in these things, but we also accept through grace. We accept the loving reminders and warnings of the Holy Spirit. Lord, how faithful. What a wonderful act of mercy and grace that You would come to us and just show us out of Your grace and out of Your love and mercy. He would just say, look at this, remember this, here's what I have to say to you because I love you. Lord, speak through love this morning, we pray. But Lord, let us not bypass the tremendous things that God wants to reveal to us by His Word and by His Spirit. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, as you know, the last 4 or 5 years, I've traveled all over the world. And I observe and I watch and I listen. And in the past 4 years especially, I've seen a spiritual evil tsunami, so to speak. I've seen waves of apathy come to sweep over the Church of Jesus Christ. I saw it in Sweden. I prophesied about it. I've seen it in Australia. I've seen it in New Zealand. I've seen it in the United States. We see entire denominations drifting away from the truth of their founding fathers. The church that I grew up in, the denomination that I grew up in, a Pentecostal denomination, such great prayer warriors who are always thinking about the coming of the Lord, preaching about the coming of Christ. And there wasn't much money, there wasn't a lot of prosperity, but there was such a hunger and such a thirst. And even as a child, I would go to these meetings and be stricken by the Holy Spirit in such power. I was called to preach at the age of 8 in one of those meetings where the Spirit of God would so fill the house. Now, folks, we have that here at Times Square Church, and we thank God for it. There are other churches all over the United States that have what we enjoy here. We are not the only one enjoying the sweet presence of Christ and the moving of the Holy Spirit. But folks, there's something happening all over the world. There is a spirit of apathy. There's a drifting away from Christ, from the desire for the Shekinah glory, the desire for the nearness of Jesus. A few times that I have not been in this pulpit and have traveled and had a Sunday off and I go and I'm hungry. I've done that in 3 or 4 occasions in the last 2 years. And I go so hungry and I said, I want to see, I want to hear something from the Lord. And I've watched them coming in to the meetings with such sloth, with their Cokes in hand and their Danish, and all through the preaching, drinking their Cokes and eating their Danish, and such irreverence. And then I watch and listen to a 15, 20 minute little lecture about how to prosper on your job, how to raise your children, which is fine, and we need all these principles, and thank God for it. But then at 12 sharp, we watch them run to their cars, and it's a race to get out of the parking lot. And folks, we have warnings all through the Bible that it's possible for those who are at present near to the Lord, those who yearn and hunger for Him, that it's possible to drift. It's possible to neglect this great salvation. You'll find these Bible warnings to devoted people. This passage I just read to you was not written to sinners. It was written to devoted men and women of God, to the true church of Jesus Christ, from the heart of Christ Himself. How shall we escape if we God's people, if you, David Wilkerson, who testifies that it was through prayer and devotion to the Lord that you received a call at an early age, you who fast and pray and seek God, you who have been used of God in a measure, how will you escape if you neglect this great work that God has done, if you drift away from what God has laid on your heart and the obligations and the personal responsibilities to maintain the fire of the Holy Spirit in the soul? These are powerful warnings from the Scripture. Awake, thou that sleepest. These are in the Word. The Scripture says it's high time to wake out of sleep, for now our salvation has come nearer than when we first believed. Paul the Apostle warns, and this was right after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, some have become wanton against Christ. Some are already turned aside after Satan. But this morning, my concern is not the drifting in the church of Jesus Christ or the backslidden church. I'm not focused on the apathy that I've seen and heard by pastors who come to me. Like the one pastor said, I can read that he said, in the last few years, I've never seen the level of trouble, discouragement, relationship problems, financial stress. The more I prayed and sought God about these problems in the church, the more they increased. I came to a place of just quitting the ministry. I'll never leave Christ, but things are so difficult now. We get by emails, we get them by letters from all over the world, the same thing. There's a tremendous falling away from. I know missionaries who spent years on the mission field, marvelously used. I remember one missionary couple had communion every day, husband and wife, a powerful testimony in their latter day. He died, she came home, and I watched and heard of that one woman who was one of the spiritual missionary heroes of mine, just sit in front of a television and waste her spiritual life and become absolutely dead. Until her grandson knelt by her chair and said, you were my hero, I was going to serve Christ, but if this is how you end up, if this is how the fire dies, I want nothing with your Jesus. I want nothing to do with it. And he backslid and went to college. You see, none of us, if you sit here this morning thinking, I could never drift, I could never neglect this great salvation. Scripture says, take heed when you think you stand, lest you fall. It doesn't mean from your salvation, but it means, I'm not saying that isn't possible, but I'm saying that the fall away from steadfastness is what Paul's speaking on. He himself had a concern. Now, you can interpret this any way you want, but Paul said, I bring my body under, lest under any encounter in some way, after having preached to others, I myself to become a castaway. He's not talking about losing his salvation. Paul's never had a thought of that. But he is saying, he's entertaining in his mind a possibility that he could lose this fire, this vision, that in the end he would just peter out, he would just inflame out. Not going to hell, but not being useful in the service of God, not being fruitful. Paul's life was all about bearing fruit. It was about having the life of Christ pouring into other lives. And he dreaded the very thought that I'm going to keep my body under. I'm going to lay hold of the promises of God and trust the Holy Spirit. The one who's called me will keep me by his grace. Now, I'm secure in my salvation, but I take heed to these godly men. There's a law of nature that interprets the law of the Spirit. I'll say that one more time. There's a law of nature that interprets the law of the Spirit. Jesus, or the Scripture says, I think in Romans 1st chapter, speaking about those who claim they haven't heard about God. And in that chapter, he's talking about homosexuality. And he said that which could be known of God was clearly manifested to them through the things that are seen or created. And if you remember all through the Scripture, what did Jesus say? Remember the ravens, consider the birds. All of these considerations that Jesus mentions. The Scripture, Paul's talking about, remember the oxen that treadeth out the corn. And he said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, in the Old Testament. In other words, look at nature. See how nature illustrates spiritual lessons. Let me give you an example how the law of nature interprets the law of the Spirit. I was reading a Christian biologist the last few weeks, written probably 150 years ago. And he was talking about a fish that's in the Mammoth Caves in Kentucky. And there's a great underground lake in that. It's pitch dark down there, of course, except the electricity where they take the tour groups through it. But there's a fish that is living in that has evolved over the years. At first it was a multicolored fish and had good eyes, but over time, preferring darkness rather than the light, something happened. The fish turned blanched white, and a biologist took one of those fish out of Mammoth Cave Lake and dissected the eyes. There, in this white head, there are two black eyes. Looked like perfect eyes, but when they're dissected, they prove to be fake. The optic nerve died, and all of the sight was taken from it. Nature accommodated through a lack of exercise because there was no need, because of the preference for darkness rather than light. This fish lost its vision and goes about the lake freely, bumping into objects, and the total nerve system did. There's just a thin piece of thread left that once was light, which was alive. That explains something of the Spirit of the living God and how the Holy Spirit is. There's a law. What you don't use, you'll lose. What you don't lose, you're going to use. And the Bible makes it clear. Neglect causes deterioration. Neglect the gift of God. Neglect prayer. I know that can happen to me. It can happen to anyone who comes to church and has only auditorium religion. We have masses who have just auditorium religion, come to church and want to suck the life out of those meetings and get enough to see them through. You have to have a personal experience, your own prayer life, your own walk with God in this Word. You have to have it. You can't get it just in the auditorium. You have to be exercising the faculties of faith. You have to be exercising your spiritual arms and your legs. In Psalms, I'll just read it to you, Psalm 55. You see, there are a lot of people that drift away from Christ because they're simply weary of the struggle, weary of the battle of life. And it's not that they're giving up on Christ, but they're giving up on the struggle. They can't handle it anymore. Some people are just plain tired. They are tired of the trouble, tired of the financial stress. They are weary. They are worn out. And they want to escape. They don't want to be so intense for Christ. I hear it from, I just read it to you from a pastor who said, the more I prayed, the more trouble I saw. Yes? We can't promise you from the Word anything other than that. Nor could Paul the Apostle, nor could Christ himself. He said, we're going to suffer just as he suffered. But it's in that struggle we meet Christ. It's in that struggle we become strong. Christ meets you in the fiery furnace. He meets you in the lion's den. He meets you in the sinking boat. He meets you in the storm. He meets you in the hard places. That's where the revelation of Christ is. But you see, we get tired of the struggle. We say, who needs it? I don't need this. Look around. All those around me, they don't struggle. They seem to be able to just flow through their Christian life and their Christian walk. Everything seems to be fine. Their bills are paid. They're happy. And everybody's smiling. Well, I'm not going to knock that. I'm not going to try to explain it. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going to seek the face of God and you're going to be avid in this Word, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tried, and it's going to be that way. So settle in. And know that you may not see the strength, but you are growing. You are growing wings to fly over. And the Lord's going to come skipping over the mountains, the Bible said. From mountain to mountain, come skipping. David was that way. You remember what he said. My heart is sore pained in me. The terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me. Horror has overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I'd fly away and be at rest. Lo, I'd wander far off, and I'd stay in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from this storm. Yeah, I want to get away. I make an easier way. I can't handle it anymore. Who needs it? You see, the Bible, let me put it, the church is in a perfect storm. This is the perfect storm. Never in history has there been such, when they call perfect storm, where everything is affected in our life. Every single thing. Let me tell you the danger of wanting to escape and take the easy path. Folks, that's a very dangerous place to be, where you may not say it, but the thoughts are in your, planted in your heart, your mind. Why be so intense? Because I go from one trouble to another, and there's some of you here are in it over your head. You have never been so tested. It's beyond your comprehension, and you're just staggered. You are absolutely staggered. Say, what's going on? And deep in your heart, you love Christ. But you say, why go on like this? I don't get an answer. I am struggling like I've never struggled before. You see, even in your struggle, you have to go for the resources. There has to be fertilizer, so to speak. Let me just put it from my heart. In this time of testing, we have a tendency to hide from the Lord. We have a tendency to leave our prayer closet. We have a tendency to just go inward, look inward and say, this is enough. And maybe just sit in front of a television set and just go numb. Just go numb. And so we have a tendency, and then it goes day after day and week after week, and living in this discouragement, not really resting and trusting in the work of God that He is going to bring you through. Beloved, if that were not true, this is all in vain. We might well shut the doors of this church and turn it into a bar. God has promised that there'll be a time that you come out of this. God said that He's going to be with you, and you've got to hold steady, and you've got to fight. The struggle's there, but you've got to fight by faith. You can't let up on the fight of faith. It's easy for me to just stand here in the flesh and say, hold on, hold on, but I've been there. And I can say after over 54 years of preaching now, and I can say the Lord has shown me many troubles and many sorrows and heartaches, but He's brought me through. And that's what God will do for you. There are still struggles and there's still pain, but I know that I'm gaining strength, and I know something's happening in my life every time I struggle through by faith and rest in His promises. I don't know who I'm speaking to. In Proverbs, the 24th chapter, it's a word by Solomon. He said, I went out to the field of the slothful. He's talking about a man who's given up. He doesn't want, he's just neglecting his vineyard. I went out in the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, all was grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall was broken down. Then I saw it, and I considered it well. I looked upon it, and I received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall your poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Solomon said, I saw in nature something that taught me in my spirit. Nature illustrates the law of the spirit, the law of nature. And the law of nature is if you don't water your garden, you can go to any suburb around here and look at there'll be lawn after lawn, well manicured, watered trees, plants, green grass. And on weekends you see both husband and wife out there trimming and planting and fertilizing. There's a reason why it's green. That's the reason why life is flowing. Because it's being ministered to, it's being cared for. It's not being robbed of the resources that are needed. But then you come to one that's all overgrown and the lawns are dry and brown and everything is dying. And it screams at you, sloth. It screams at you, somebody's in there lazy. Somebody's not really keeping up life. And it's what Solomon said. He said, I saw that and I considered it well. And I looked upon it and I received instruction. I told you about a little tree I planted last year. I preached about it from the pulpit. Little stump that looked dead. No fruit, nothing. Just a little thing. I planted it. I don't know why. I just felt sorry for it. Planted it. And I knelt by it and I prayed, Lord, let there be life. Now, if I just planted it and just left it there and said, well, the sun, all the nutrients are in the sun. It also needs water. But it not only needs water, it needs fertilizer. So I began to go out there every day with a sprinkling can full, about a 5-gallon can of water. And I watched the leaves begin to grow on it, and I watched life come. But then if I would ignore it for 2 days, I'd go out and the leaves were drooping. So I would go get my sprinkling can, but this time I added a spoonful of Miracle-Gro. Every time I went out, Miracle-Gro, Miracle-Gro. Folks, I'm telling you, this is the biggest Miracle-Gro on the face of the earth. This is Miracle-Gro. How do we expect to maintain the fire? How do we expect if we don't give diligence? Let me give you another illustration from the law of nature. It shows the ruinous consequences. How shall we escape, the Bible said. He's talking about the consequences of neglect. If we neglect spiritual warfare, if we just say, hey, I'm going to find a nice, easy place where there are no people. Most of our problems are people problems. You say, mine are money problems. Well, it's still, this is what I think many of us say, if I could just get away someplace quiet. You know, as one preacher from this pulpit preached, wherever you go, there you are. Because here's an illustration from the law of nature. The ruinous consequences of quitting and drifting. Lack of faith. This biologist did a study on the life of a crab. The crab, a crustacean. And the crab life is a very difficult, please excuse us, but when I read this, I said, there's a sermon in that. If the law of nature illustrates the law of the spirit, I want to learn from this. And I learned, and I'll never forget it. And maybe this is one way you won't forget what I'm saying. But the crab lives a terrible life. It's bounced over the jagged rocks and the bottom of the sea. The waves just toss them about. They live a very jagged, rugged life. And for many, many years, that's how they develop this strong shell, and these five pair of legs grew meaty and strong to resist the tide. And they learned to hide under rock formations from their predators. Nature can't explain it. The biologist said that the species, a certain number of those species, decided to take the easy route. They were tired of the struggle, and so they took to making a home in abandoned shells of mollusks and other animals that left their shells. I saw one, in fact, they call it the hermit crab, and I saw one crab in Florida that was in a shell that was 8 to 10 inches big, great big horn shell. They call it the hermit crab. Now, the hermit crab, somehow, a number of that species decided to quit the battle. And they go in with their measure of health, their meaty legs and their shell. It's like an armored shell. And they go into this secondhand house and they settle in. And there's a little, the biologist said, a little tube-like item that sucks through the wall so it is safe. In other words, because it didn't want to struggle, it gave up the struggle for safety. Like many of us want to give up the struggle and find a safe house, a borrowed house if necessary. It's like a daughter plant, D-O-D-D-E-R, that comes and springs up and it has a measure of life and gets so high that it's got a limb that goes over to the next healthy plant, put a suction cup and sucks the life out of that and loses its life and crawls around the ground until it dies. But this hermit crab goes in and there's a high price for going after safety and losing the struggle and wanting only to get to heaven. Don't want to battle. Don't want to fight anymore. No spiritual warfare. Just give up and just hang on. I'm just going to love Jesus. I'm not going to hurt anybody. I just want to be by myself. I want to get rid of this struggle. And so that terrible price, the legs begin to wither. The back begins to come paper thin. And after a season, the legs begin to fall off one after another until there's nothing but a shell. And that little hermit crabs becomes a weak, useless little creature until it finally dies in its safe place. Folks, while the other crabs are out swimming and in the free air, and yes, there are predators, we fight against principalities and powers of darkness. We have predators. And the winds and the waves toss us and there are jagged rocks. But there's only one rock. There's only one safe place. I want to be one of those who fights. I want to be one who's swimming free. I want to be one of those. I'm not going to call you a hermit crab if you are drifting. And I'm not trying to be facetious, but folks, get the thought in your mind. Just like Solomon said, I saw it and I perceived and I learned from it. Now let me get to the heart of this. When I prayed, Lord, how do I keep from drifting? How do I keep from neglecting this great salvation? I've never once doubted my salvation. But I know what can happen because I've seen the shipwreck all around, and so is Paul when he writes about it. But when I ask the Holy Spirit, how do I guard against neglect and drifting. And he led me to the life of Peter. You know well the story of Peter. And what I'm going to tell you now, it's not enough to just fast and pray and read your Bible. The Lord takes that for granted, that Peter, who's now repentant, nobody drifted further among the disciples. Judas, of course, betrayed him, but among the other 11, Peter really drifted from Christ. He said, "I don't even know the man," and he cursed. The Bible says he went out and repented. It was pride, it was self-boasting. And he even said out loud these thoughts he gave voice to: "Others may leave you, but there's no possibility that I could drift." Some of you may be thinking, "Pastor Dave, why would you preach about the possibility of somebody drifting away from the vision and fullness of Christ?" I believe that this is the attitude of Peter, that I can't fall. Others may fall, but I have reached a place in Christ, in my faith, that I don't have to be warned. It was this pride. And so Peter, I want you to notice this now. He's in a boat because he said, "I'm going fishing." What he means, I'm going back to my career. I don't want this struggle. I don't have it in me. And you take a look at that man in the boat. And you look at that man at pulling in the haul of fishes. Here's a man who is repentant. Here's a man who has prayed. Here's a man who's been restored. Here's a man who's been breathed upon by the Holy Spirit, because between his failure and between that moment in the boat, he had met Jesus in that closed room when he came through the wall. And Jesus had embraced this man and had breathed on him, touched him, and the Holy Spirit was in him, the scripture says. The Holy Spirit was breathed into him. But you see, there's another issue. With Christ, it was not enough that Peter now was restored, safe. It's not enough that they give themselves in the upper room. He sees what was given to Paul. It's not going to be enough for that upper room experience. It's not going to be enough that they wait on the Lord and minister and are given avidly to the Word of God. He said there's another issue. There's another matter, this matter of neglect. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, Jesus said, "Come and dine," and they're dining with Jesus. And he looks at Peter, "Remember." And he said, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter said, "Yes." He said, "Do you love me more than these?" Now, it can't be the disciples he's talking about, because if he says, "Yeah, I love you more than you," then he's back to the old Peter. He's back to the old pride. It had to be. Do I mean more to you than anything else in life, your career and everything else? Am I really all in all to you? If that's so. And he didn't tell him, go fast and pray. He took it for granted. He took it as to say, well, he has my heart now and I have his heart. He's going to pray. He's going to fast. He's going to do these things, because that's what a devoted Christian does. That's where he knows his life comes from. But there's another issue. It's matter. Scripture says, how do we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He says, feed my sheep. Peter, I want you to forget your failure. I want you to forget that you denied me. I want you to forget that you had drifted away from me. You have come back to me now. You have my heart and I have your heart. And I'm saying it again. Feed my sheep. Don't focus on yourself. Don't focus on your past. Don't focus on your failure. Don't focus on that now. Get your eyes off of your own problems and now look at my sheep. Look at the needs around you. Look at the suffering around you. This is the issue today. I can shut myself in my secret closet. I can become a man who prays 8 hours a day. I can read the rest of another 8 hours in the Bible. I could fast for days, 21, 40 days, whatever it is. I could fast and still neglect this great salvation if I am shut off from human need, if I don't see the hurts and the pains of the body of Christ and I do nothing about it. I'm a hermit crab. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. And Peter got the message like Solomon. I saw it and I saw the consequences and I learned from it. And Peter learned 3 times, feed my sheep. You see, Peter goes up later with John to the temple to pray. And he passes a man who is a cripple asking for alms. Now folks, I surmise, and I believe this to be true, that Peter had seen that man many times. They went up to the temple. They were there when Jesus drove out the money changers. You remember Paul later goes up to the temple. They went up to the temple to pray and to witness. And they went through the gate beautiful, and they'd seen this man before, but Peter never really saw him. He saw him, but he didn't see him. He didn't see him in the light of this feed my sheep, this neglecting of human need. But this time, he comes upon the man, and the Bible said he fastened his eyes on him. You see, when you have your eyes on your own problem, when you're thinking only of your own financial needs, your own pain, you lose your vision. You see, but you don't see. It's like that fish that have eyes that can't see. Having eyes, they can't see. But you see, the need is always there. It's always in our pathway. It's always there, but we can't see it. You don't have to go to China. You don't have to go to India. All around us are human needs, and we're blind to them because we're focused on our own problems. We're focused on our own pain. I speak from experience. I'm preaching to my own heart. Listen, body of Jesus Christ, the first thing that suffers when you think nothing about your own problem and you're not casting it upon the Lord and moving on in your pain. I think I've done more for God's glory in my pain than I did without my pain. It's true of everyone in this house. But now Paul fastens his eyes on that man. He's not letting go. And the Bible said he took him by the hand and raised him up. He's feeding the sheep. He's not neglecting it this time. No, I have to do something about it. Folks, the moment you get that mindset of the Holy Spirit, you begin to pray, oh God, open my eyes. Lord, take my eyes off of my own problem. I don't want to neglect the salvation of Christ to those around me, my family, and those that are in pain. Show me the need. And folks, when you begin to pray that and believe the Holy Spirit for it, what a wonderful thing happens. He begins to show you things right at your doorstep. He begins to show you needs all around you, and then the Lord starts bringing them into your attention. He gives you back your discernment. He opens your eyes, and you begin to become strong in the Lord. And I make you a promise. You begin to get your eyes off of your own problem. Commit those things, Lord. Rest in them and say, Lord, now help me to be a feeder of the sheep. Open my eyes to the needs around me and give me the words and give me the faith. That kind of Christian is never going to drift. Never. That's the guard. That's the wall. That's the protection. Giving out to others. Just giving yourself. These are the most giving pastors and elders I have ever met anywhere in the world. Giving. They're not hirelings. They're here to give. And that's why you hear the word that you hear, the blessing you see on their lives, because they're feeding the sheep, meeting human need. Will you stand? Honestly, many of you probably didn't need this message. Maybe the majority of you didn't need this message. I needed it. But I hopefully have preached it in love and mercy. Not suggesting that this church drifts. This church is not drifting. This church is focused. It's got the focus of the Holy Spirit. This church is meeting human need. But oh God, help us as individuals, not only as a body, but as individuals, to say, Jesus, use me. Got a 3 days of fasting and prayer. That's the work and call of the Holy Spirit. That wasn't done just in a committee meeting. That was done because God laid it on the hearts of the pastors. And it's call. And folks, there has to be a purpose to it. Out of it has to come a new burden for lost souls. And that hunger for the Word and the addiction to this Word of God should ultimately produce in me and in you a new, fresh burden for the lost. That's what I'm crying for and praying that my last days would be mightily used to win the lost. That I won't just curl up in this Bible and not see the need. But when I open this, I'll let the Holy Spirit show me what He's saying about feeding. Lord, thank You for Your presence this morning. Lord, thank You that You will be here all day speaking from this pulpit, speaking the Word. But Lord, let us take this to heart. Every one of us say, I will have my own experience. I'm not going to give up the battle. I'm not going to just depend on what happens in this auditorium. But I'm going to seek God at my own and ask Him to open my eyes. Lord, make us soul winners. Make this one of the greatest soul-winning churches in America. Make it one of the greatest soul-winning churches so that everyone in this house can say, I have reached somebody. I have not been thinking and talking about my own problems. Now, I turn that all over to Jesus. Now, folks, I'm not going to preach my sermon over. I just want to give you an invitation to, if God has spoken to you in any way, you say, Pastor David, I need fresh fire. I need a fresh anointing. I don't know if you've discouraged. Maybe you haven't given up, but you've come to a place where the enemy has, you've just opened up your mind to a lot of doubts, a lot of fear. And you want God to just encapsulate your mind, so to speak, and put you back in the spiritual warfare. You can come and I'll pray for you and we'll believe the Lord to touch you in a fresh way. God bless you. In the annex, if you just move in between the screens, you can move forward and stand between the screens and I'll pray for you and the church will pray for you and we'll believe the Lord to do a fresh work in your heart this morning. While they sing, you can gather. Apostle Paul said, examine yourselves, will you be in the faith? Prove yourselves. Know you not your own selves, how the Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. He's not accusing being reprobates at all. He's saying, you know your heart. He said, just examine it. You know it. You know that Christ lives in you. You know that Christ does not matter to you. You know that Christ is alive in you. Now, folks, I preach about the law of nature, illustrating the law of the Spirit. But you see, we as free moral agents, we cannot produce the resources. We cannot produce the water. That's the Word. We cannot produce the sun. That's God's part. Our part is to open up. Just open up. He said, I will keep you. I'm reading from Psalm 121. Lift up your eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He that keeps you will not slumber. He that keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is thy shade from the right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He will preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out, your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. Do you believe that? I will keep you. I will preserve you. And I'll make you fruitful, is what Jesus said. I'll make you fruitful. Accept the love of Christ. Accept His loving tap on your shoulder. And He said, just one thing, by the way, remember this. You need my resources. Don't neglect going to the source. Don't neglect that. And don't think that just being saved is enough. Just being safe is not enough. Can you remember that? Being safe is not enough. Being fruitful. Safe and fruitful. Bearing fruit. That's the feeding of the sheep. Can I pray for you? Lord, we thank you for these that have come. I promise to pray for them, and we do right now in faith. And those in the annex gathered between the screens. Holy Spirit, thank you that we can live without fear. We don't have to doubt the day that we're going to stand before you. But Lord, we want to stand before you bringing with our sheaves with us, bringing our fruit to lay at your feet. Lord Jesus, by an act of faith, we turn over every care. You said, cast your cares on me because I care for you. Lord, by an act of faith right now, let us cast. Just throw it at your feet and say, here are my financial problems. Here is my relationship problem. Here is my marriage problem. Here is my pain. Lord, take it. Lord, I'm going to trust you. You promised to preserve me and keep me, keep my feet from falling. And Lord, we're going to stand on that promise now and believe you and accept it. Raise your hands and begin to thank Jesus for his promise to keep you from falling, present you faultless before the throne of God. Hallelujah.
This is the conclusion of the message.